All right, folks, welcome to Nino's Corner.tv. This is Fluff Tube Edition. I'm joined with Jamie Kennedy. Man, dude, I remember you way back in the day, bro, way back in the day, like all your movies. And there's actually one scene that had me busting up for like days, dude. And it's probably one you'll never even think about. I mean, probably one you never get, but it's the one, I think, in Harold and Kumar. When you're pissing out in the middle of nowhere, and these dudes, yeah, that right there, dude, that got me, bro. That was the one that got me.
Is this your bush?
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah, nah, dude, that was classic. So man, I saw that you went on the Fallen State. I went on there blindfold, like I didn't know what I was going into. I didn't know what I was walking into with Jesse Lee Peterson. And I went to his studio and I was like, this is interesting. A lot of chairs there and like no audience. I was thrown off, but it was very awkward from the get go. And I get into this studio. I get there. He seemed very nice in the beginning. And then dude, like and I don't know if my audience is familiar with Jesse Lee Peterson, The Fallen State, but it's one of the most awkward interviews you'll ever do. And I saw you were talking about it a little bit. So did you go into that blindfold too? Did you know what you were getting into?
I knew that he was a controversial figure, but I knew that I should do it because I think you have to talk to everybody, because that's the biggest problem we have is people just don't want to listen to each other and keep an open mind. So I'm like, I know. And I said, and I saw some clips he had done, and I'm like, this dude's hilarious. You know what I mean? He's trolling, but he also believes certain things. So, and I'd heard like people that I liked that were like walking out, and I was like, it can't be that bad. And so I went in not really knowing. The problem I have is I had a great time. It's just that he asks things in an absolute. There's no gray. It's like, boom. My whole thing was like, he said, do you love white people? Of course. Yeah. I can say, yeah, I love white people. But if they clip that with me and who I am or whatever I've been known to do, they'll just take that clip and they can run it any way you want. So it's like, I qualify my statements. And then when I do that, then people call you.
Oh, and they had to make you sign a release, right?
Yeah. You sign a release before you go in. So you're scared that you can't change anything.
Yeah, no, I was like, what am I walking into? And I went on the show and I was like, dude, he started pulling stuff out about my mom. I started questioning my own mother.
I know he did that to me. He did that to me. I know, dude. I was bummed out when he did it, but he, you know, he has his mom thing. I guess he does that with a lot of people. But by the way, I love the dude. I had a great time with him.
Yeah. No, I like him too, but he's very awkward. I mean, he was saying like the, what did he say? The gates of hell come through the mother's legs. Yeah.
I didn't agree with that, but.
Nah, but I mean, he was definitely asking questions that I was like, you know, I was like, dude, am I being like, I remember there's like three dudes in the audience and I was just like looking at them like, is this what you usually do here? And they were busting up laughing because I didn't want to handle it.
Well, you know, he does say though, if you're a man and you get emotional, it could come from your mother. And I did, like, he did kind of convert me on that one, because I do get emotional and I'm the youngest kid. So I'm like, when they get like, you get like, you know, mad at sometimes, it's like it could be from your mother. So I was like, that could be interesting.
You know, he had me talking about my mom. And you know what happened was, like, I started thinking about it when he started asking me about my own mom. I was like, dude, I don't have any issues with my mom, right? I'm like, what's this guy talking about? Well, I go up to Crestone, Colorado, and I have a medicine man up there. I dive into psychedelics occasionally, right? That's what I do. And I went up there and I think it was called San Pedro or something like that. I did some San Pedro and we hiked this mountain all the way to the top. And the guy that I was with is telling me, hey, man, you're going to have a lot of baggage going up here. There's going to be a lot of things, a lot of demons you have to just release coming up, walking up this mountain. Dude, we hiked, I think, 13,000 feet. It was insane. The whole way up. And I was on this medicine, and I call it medicine. I'm thinking about my mom. Like the problems, the issues I had with my mom, like that's all that came out. Like you can't control what's going to come out. And that was like the main issue, the whole hike up. And I mean, I was a fighter all my life, a boxer, you know, and I thought I had a lot of issues, but I didn't know it was with my mom. And dude, she's a beautiful mother, the greatest mother. So like, when he was asking me these questions, that was before I went on this hike. I was like, what's this guy talking about? That's the main thing that came up when I was dealing with my own baggage. So I find that to be very interesting.
Maybe he's the end. He might be connected in something, you know, on a universal truth. Who knows?
No, I know. I don't know. I just thought you went into that, and I was like, man, dude, I went into that interview completely blind, completely blind. I don't know. The way I see, you are for psychedelics, right? Do you do microdosing or no?
I mean, I could. I don't, but I know a lot of people that do it. My girl does it. She, well, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but she's done it. It helps people.
Yeah, it helps me, man. I mean, I just started doing the microdosing, but sometimes
bring your most creative self. Like, you can do it where you're not psychedelic, right? So you're just euphoria feeling, and it takes you to a new place. So I believe that mushrooms are definitely part of the earth, and they're of the weed, probably even healthier. And like you said, medicine man, like Native Americans that I know. They, used to take that stuff all the time and go into, I don't want to get too trippy, but literally connect with another dimension and see the things and then get the visions and then, start forming the plans of which they were seeing. So I think that mushrooms were hidden from us and to make us less effective. And I think that booze is the lower vibrational, downer, angry, keep us all. Like, I'm really into the believing about all this negativity that's coming, that's forced upon us, and that negativity is used, that we are this general big thing of negativity and why the world gets so negative, I believe, is because people need that. I don't want to go too far over here, but they use that energy.
They use, like, the alcohol, the bread and circus, because I used to be an addict, right? I was an alcoholic. I used to juggle
alcohol. Is so bad. You could tell me more because you're actually I haven't drank in over 5 years and I didn't go to a program. I just was like, I did it for vanity reasons. And then I was like, this is not good. And then the more I see more people are stopped.
You've been sober 5 years?
Over.
Wow. Yeah. I've been sober 4.5 years. So four years. Actually, this month will be 4 years and 5 months.
Congratulations.
Dude's the greatest thing I've ever done.
Yeah, and I think that, like, they want us dumb. That I really think alcohol makes you angry. It makes you lower vibrational. It makes you bitter. And I see it. I see when people are out there, and I see people on mushrooms in a very low dosage, and they're euphoric, and they're happy, and they're like this. And, I mean, it's totally different. And you're creating things when you're on alcohol.
I'm on a microdose right now.
when you're on alcohol, you're destroying things. So I do think that basically these energy, all of it was put here by the higher ups in our world to keep us dumb and bread and circuses, and to keep that division. And that's what alcohol does.
Yeah, to keep us in that lower vibrational frequency, fighting with each other, bread and circus, keep us distracted. And I think right now more than ever, and I don't know how you view this. I mean, looking at the circus politically, looking what's going on in Hollywood, I mean, dude, everyone's at each other's throats, all the scandals, it's absolute insanity. And if when I really look back, like now since I've especially been sober, I look back on everything and I look at everything in hindsight 2020, and I'm like, man, especially being a fighter and the whole thing I was doing, I was like, man, I was part of that bread and circus. I was drinking when I wasn't training, I was juggling all these extremes, and now I look at it and I'm like, my life is just so much better. It's just improved so much. You feel the same way?
Yeah. I mean, I'm much more productive. I'm definitely much more aware of things, and I see, and every day I think I shed a new layer. And I mean, like, I think it takes a while for booze to get out of your system because like it's in there for a while. But I just feel that it's also just food too, bro. There's like a lot of bad food. Everything has been too complicated for us and we don't need it. We just need a few things. We just need some steak, some butter, some blueberries, some natural yogurt, water, some coffee. You know what I mean? And that's it. Vitamins, the sun, physical exercise. I mean, and honey. And that's
I go back now and I think about like everything they've done to us. Like even I even question sunscreen, dude. I even question sunscreen now. I'm like, man,
dude,
you're putting that right.
Totally true. It's natural, and it's like exactly. You start at this layer, and then you uncover this layer and this layer. That's what it is. It's a great uncovering, and then you realize we're so far away from our base reality of normalcy that there's so much bullshit levels on top of levels on top of levels. And it's like have, I don't know how I can say this clearly, it's like having a job at like a Pizza Hut or something, and it's like all you need is just one thing, but there's all these like compliances and this, you know, general manager and the regional man, and they give you all this bullshit. It's like, just make the pizza, get it out in time, deliver it in 30 minutes. Like, it's simple. And that's what this, it's like they've made everything so complicated when we just got to get back to the basics of life. And just like you said, like, you just realize it's sunscreen. Sunscreen. We were taught, was, you know, protect us. I think that's a lie. I think everything really is a lie.
I think, you know, especially now, like, my parents are like, my dad's 89, my mom's 85. So they're part of that generation where they really took everything hook, line, and sinker. I told them not to get this. They went and got that. And I don't even want to say it on here, but I think there's levels to this awakening process and like where we're at right now in society. And I think with everything happening, you obviously, and I don't even know much about you, to be honest with you, I kind of went into this blind, but you seemed already, like me talking to you, like you're very awake. And let's talk about the Jamie Kennedy awakening. You know what I mean? So, sure. I mean, we'll talk about the Jamie Kennedy experiment in a second, but let's talk about the Jamie Kennedy awakening. And like, where do you, what was your initial awakening? Was it 9/11? Was it after that? What, like, have you always been this way? I mean, when you look back, are you, what wave were you? Cause I say there's waves. I say there's like the JFK wave, the 9/11, there's personal things that happen in your life that wake you up. And then I think 2020 woke up a lot of people. It either made or broke people.
Mm-hmm.
When would you say your awakening process began?
Probably when I was 10. I mean, if you want to go simple, because I was a normal kid, and then I was diagnosed with my heart issue, and I used to watch Three's Company, and then I used to watch Chips. I always wanted to be like Eric Estrada or John Ritter. You know what I mean? I always, like, those were like my heroes, and I was just a normal kid, you know, playing wiffle ball. And then you get this like life changing diagnosis that, you know, obviously I can live with and fine, but it's just like, now you're different. So that was the beginning of it. And I think there was this a darkness over my mind of like, well, my innocence was gone, right?
Was it life and death at that time?
No, it wasn't. But it was just like, you know, your heart might beat at 75. My heart beated like 38, which is very low.
Wow.
And then, yeah. So I had to wait, and I got a pacemaker when I was a kid. But then I came back, and then, you know, as an overcompensator, then you play more basketball and you do more baseball and stuff. But, you know, I was always had this little thing, which is going to be normal now. People are going to have all types of different implants. But at the time in the early 80s, you feel different. So it took my innocence away. Obviously, that's where my humor was born out of, meaning as a defense mechanism. So then I think that was like the first. Before that, I would just literally eat the cereal, watch the TV, go to church. I didn't question anything. I didn't know anything. So I think that was the first one. And then I think when I graduated high school, I knew that high school was bullshit. And I moved to Hollywood because they always told you to get a job and all this stuff. And then I went to move to Hollywood, and I started making money as alternative ways, like being a background actor or, you know, doing a stand-up gig for $20 or whatever. And I was like, okay, there's other ways. So there's different levels to it of my own personal. But
what about the world? Like, what about with what you're seeing in the world right now?
That I would say, yeah, I mean, I didn't question 9/11 right away, but I definitely started questioning it a few years later for sure. I questioned weapons of mass destruction, but I was always on my own thing, dude. I was self-involved and completely, you know, on the Jamie train. I would probably say the demic when that happened, and I literally started seeing what was going on and what they were doing. and how many people were just blindly going along like with this. And then when I got, I didn't get that. And when I got the vidi of how everything they told you to do, I did not do. And I went, you know, the other way, like you and Rogan and everyone else. And it's cleared it. It took a minute, but it cleared it right up. And so once I started doing that and I just started seeing all the sheep, I was like, this is, and then it just started, everything started coming down and I started just seeing more and more. And then the Hollywood of how the symbolisms of so many different things, I started talking to different people and I started saying, oh my God, I didn't even notice that. Like in Hollywood, there's so many buildings that have like Egyptian symbols on them. And what does that really mean?
It's all Masonic, man.
Yeah. And all of that stuff. So I would say the time at home was a great eye opener for me. And also the fall of our whole thing. Like I was always aware of AI. I was always aware of, you know, superpowers and computers, meaning super, you know, exponential, how they're going to get faster and our world's going to change. But if you just, the last four and a half years have been, that's really when it really started. I had my own personal ones, but that was it. And, It's just one thing goes to the next thing, to the next thing, to the point where I literally, bro, and I love Hollywood, man. I do, but I find myself not even caring as much anymore.
Well, there's a lot of good, it's like there's a lot of good people that are trapped in a bad system.
Yeah.
And that's really what it is.
I think that, because the movie business is just getting less and less. The television business, people are like, what's going on? You know, it's all social media influencing. Of course, there's still some legacy properties. Studios are being bought and swallowed. So there's what we call constriction. The record business is totally changed. So it's literally this whole thing. And now I'm seeing all of these. I look at everyone in this business almost as a controlled asset. Yeah. I think if you buy enough now, you're a controlled asset. I know that sounds crazy, not to you. But it would sound crazy to the normal person. But I'm telling you, I really see it, and it makes complete sense why and how. If you want to get the messaging out, you have to put out the pawns to do it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and go ahead.
That's how I really, and I'm telling people right now with all the stuff that's going on in Hollywood, I think there'll be a time where people go, "You work in Hollywood," and they'll be mad. Yeah. Like, I think Hollywood has lost its luster completely.
I agree with you. And everything's gone to streaming and podcasting now. Like, when I was in LA, I was noticing when I was out there, I was like, man, there's so many podcasting studios popping up everywhere, man. I was like, wow, that's like the new avenue, right? That's like where everyone's going.
It is, because everybody has a voice and you can express it and you can build up your own little, base. You know what I mean? Your own little thing. And that's what it is. And I think that, I don't think people trust anyone anymore, any big outlets, and they just want to do it themselves. And it's kind of like, look what you used to do, right? Or, you know, you may, like a boxer. It's no different than acting or anything else, right? Entertainer, right? You're an athletic entertainer, right? But you have to go through all the systems within the boxing realm to be considered a legitimate boxer now. Now people put their own fights up.
Yeah.
To the point where the boxing world is looking to them to learn their tricks, and they're making more money than boxers. And
bro, Jake Paul could have never happened back in the day. I mean, obviously, because of but
he's incredible. Incredible.
Well, let's look at it this way. Cause like for me, when I was boxing, you couldn't fight somebody really at a championship. You had to be like 30-0 to even get there. You know, I got to 36-0 and it was crazy. It was tough, bro. It was a tough, tough, tough business. And like that in itself it speaks volumes to see someone like a Jake Paul YouTuber like fighting, although Tyson's 50-60. I mean, but still that's unheard of. I would have never imagined anything like that. The whole paradigm has shifted. The whole thing has just transformed. And I look back in like 2020, I look back on 2020 now and past that, I look at NASA, I look at school systems as like indoctrination camps, the whole thing. Yeah. And I was always the bad kid. I was always getting kicked out. I was always getting in fights. I dropped out. I got my GED. But I was like, oh, wait a minute. I was onto something. I never trusted any of it.
School is completely indoctrination system. Like you said, NASA's a front, they always say. Everyone who's learned is learned to be a desk jockey. Entrepreneurism is killed. Free thought is killed. They want conformity. And so it's like, basically, how can I say this in the simplest way? The world is geared toward everyone being a soldier of the soldier of many to serve the king of few. You know what I'm saying? That there's a few higher ups. And now the world is built, right? The systems are built out, and especially now with AI, that will take over the rest. So what are you going to do with all of the worker bees? That's where we're at. Now, a
Later.
lot of people can't accept that, but that's
Yeah,
where we're at.
that's I'm on board with you right now. I'm 100% on board with you on that. So like when you like let me ask you this, 'cause I've been curious about this. Like a lot of people that make it in Hollywood, they know somebody or there's nepotism or there's something involved there. They do something they shouldn't do. Did you ever experience anything like that, or were you, 'cause I saw like you, I think you were in what was it, what movie did you first make it in? You were like an extra in
Dead Poets Society.
That's it, Dead Poets Society. That's right, Dead Poets Society.
I didn't know anyone, and I didn't have any nepotism. I just came out here blindly. And that's why I had to sacrifice a chicken. That's a joke. I just said that because you're so crazy with that. No, but I didn't have any of that. I literally am the story of like the person that comes out and grinds and goes and like just trial by error. So I just came out and I was a background, I was an extra, and then I had to learn the business from ground, from the bottom up. But, I mean, that's how I had all the dumb jobs and everything. And
Yeah, but when was your big break? When did you get your big break?
my big break was probably, it wasn't just one, it was Dead Poets Society got me involved. Like I was like, oh my God, this is a crazy. And that was just a fluke. My friend's mom was an extra and it was filming not too far from Philly. And then I went to the set and then they said, okay, you can be in it. And that was the initiation of like, oh man, I'm this is what a movie set is. And then I moved to Hollywood. I probably in 93, I got I auditioned 8 times after many years of trying to get an agent and stuff. And I got a part on a spinoff of the Power Rangers called oh God, I forget the show now, but it was Cybertron. And then from there that didn't go, but I had what we call tape. This is 31 years ago, bro. Tape. And you needed tape to show people that you can act. And then that tape got me a commercial agent. And then I got a commercial for Blockbuster. And that started paying the bills. And a casting director saw that. And then I got a guest spot on a TV show called Ellen, which was her old sitcom. It was processes and processes, but really the thing that probably put me on the map was Scream.
So like now, like I mean, when you look at the world now, like I think wokeness killed. I think Hollywood's killing it. So I think Hollywood's done, dude. I think it's donezo. I don't.
I really do too, bro. I know it's hard for people to how let me ask you this, how done do you think it is?
I think there's always going to be remnants. I mean, you got like Netflix and stuff like that, but I think the world's just waking up, dude, and going a different direction. And I think humanity's consciousness is going to leave it behind. Either they get with it or they don't. If they can transform, I think there's going to be different avenues that are created and like trailblazed. I think it's going to go, I think it's going to diversify in so many different levels. I don't think it's just going to be Hollywood anymore. I think it's going to go in so many different avenues that I mean, I can't even tell you the actors that are on Netflix anymore. I mean, I can, I mean, there's an array of movies on Netflix. I don't know who any of them are. It's like
I don't,
the,
I'm with you. I don't even think that people want to watch escapism anymore. I think we're yearning for the truth, right? I'd rather watch
yeah.
your pod or some TikTok theories than watch 6 episodes of something that's
Dude,
just
you know
fiction.
what's in now? Conspiracy theory. Conspiracy's in. People want to think out, people are questioning the world now. They're like, what is going on? This reality doesn't make sense. I want to know more. That's what's going on. Forget what this celebrity tool bag says or that one that, we see them for who they are now, not you. I'm saying like others. Like, no. I commend you for coming on the show. But
Hey
not
man.
really. But you know what I mean? Like, we don't want to be told anything anymore. Like, humanity's breaking free from that, from what I can see.
Yeah, like it's 100% true. So it's like you said, just like in your world, a guy has to go up the ranks within the gym to get the shot. Literally, you to get the shot, just like an actor had to do a bunch of things to get the shot. Now, you can create your own shot. It may not be as big as impact, but you can come from outside and make a huge impact, or you can make a life as it. Like, if you know, there are podcasters out there that might not make $5 million a year, but they'll make $200,000 and you can make a living and their message is valid. So there's mommy bloggers, there's cooks, there's sports enthusiasts, there's people that stretch. I mean, there's car nuts. There's so many different things. But that being said, is I think people want to be their own advocate of, and started with the Amazon boards of commenting. Like, yo, I bought this toaster. It wasn't that great. Here's why. And I think that's where we're in now. And it's like, what, hey, I don't want to know what the company says. I want to know what Nino says, because he's like me. I trust Nino, and he also owns the toaster. And that's where we're at. We're all peer-to-peer, and we don't trust any of the overlords. And I'm with you.
So, like, yeah, like, so, like, you, like, obviously, I'm a 90s kid, right? Like, I graduate.
Well, how old are you?
I'm 46. Going to be 46.
Good, dude.
Yeah. Damn. How old are you?
I'm 53.
It's your birthday coming up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dude, happy birthday, homie.
Thank you, bro.
So, damn, bro. Happy birthday. Again. No, but let's think about this. So, like, we kind of represent a different dimension, a different paradigm completely. Like, 90s, pre-cell phones, pre-internet, VHS. I mean, dude, completely different reality. Completely different reality. Like, we kind of know both sides of this. And I always trip out on the kids that are born now. Like, they're just born into this. I mean, they have no point of reference like we do. Like, we're the last of them, but we're like the dinosaurs, right? And I think about it, and I think, I want to know from you, like, what, because, gosh, man, I think if I had this during my boxing years, like, Facebook was barely coming into reality at that time, and I didn't have, there was no Instagram, and I would, like, God, I would have been so much bigger, blah, 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 blah. What do you see now with these influencers, dude, when you compare it to, like, the old paradigm of magazines, movies, television to now? Is it hard for you to grasp? Because you, at least it seems like you're getting out there, you're going on podcast, you kind of understand the consciousness shift. But do you ever think about it and go, like, man, like, because I used to think of someone as famous as someone who was on television or in a movie or a badass athlete. Now, it's like an array of multiplicity. It's like holographic. Everything is just existing. And it's just, like you said, someone could be, have a million followers for cooking, and there could be thousands of those people with millions of followers. Like, everything is just so spread out now. I mean, and I have a friend, I have a buddy who's an A-list. A lot of people know who he is. He's always taking controversial roles, like Passion of the Christ, Sound of Freedom. And I want to tell him, like, dude, you should get into podcasting now, man, because that paradigm is dead. Do you feel like it's completely dead? This is the new way to go. I mean, how do you feel about influencers?
Well,
you even think they're famous. I mean, what do you
think? That's a lot. That's a question that, I mean, I could go many different ways with, but I mean, well, a lot of them aren't that influential. So, I mean, you know, like, well, you're talking about fame. There's real fame, and then there's this new type of fame.
But explain that, because I agree with you. But, like, try to explain that.
Generation, they say, is the last one. Like, the late 90s, early 2000s was the last of legacy fame. I mean, that was like you had to go through the fire to get in. You know what I mean? And then you would end up in People Magazine or Entertainment Weekly. I mean,
What is legacy fame?
Legacy meaning, like, you had to get in. You had to be accepted by the establishment of Hollywood.
So yeah, you can't just play video games on YouTube and have a million.
No. You had to, like, you're an actor, you're a singer, you're a comedian, you're a musician, and then you got the top agents, and then from there you had the top publicist.
And there was a mystery. There was a mystery behind all the celebrities. Remember that?
Yeah. And to do it, you know, you couldn't fake it. Yeah, there's some people that weren't great, but for the most part, you had to have something, either a mystique about you, or you had to be good. And when you got through, you got through because you were good and you were accepted. And that was a very small circle. And then that was the thing that was like this cylinder, and we were all in, and everyone outside of it was looking at it and made it bigger. And it was like, oh, and that's how you shine, because no one else had it. And everyone wanted to go towards this thing. Well, now the dam broke and all of it's leaking out, and everyone's taking little pieces of their own. And instead of one bright light, like think of the Luxor or something in Vegas, that light bifurcates, and there's now a million little lights.
It's fractals.
Exactly. And so what you're dealing with fame is fractals. And that doesn't mean people can't blow up and be huge from this other way. First of all, they can be famous for anything. It's about fame. That fame was a byproduct. It wasn't like we went out to get famous. You went out and you did this thing and you got good at something, and fame was a byproduct of it, because you are that person that
But now everyone thinks they're famous for having 1,000 followers or even 500. I mean, yes. Narcissism is like that. We are now in the era of massive narcissism. I've never seen anything like this. We're a 12-year-old. I mean, they think they're famous.
Bro, a girl walked out of the gym the other day, and she just couldn't walk without blogging it. I just saw her. I'm like, this just doesn't stop. Like, so yeah, the narcissism is out of the bottle. It will never go back. I encourage people to find their own greatness. But now some of these people, you know, I always say that social media gave people a voice, but a lot of people should have laryngitis.
Yeah, but there's a lot of mutants in the basement that have decided to come out too, bro.
Yes, exactly. So it's like there is so. Did I lose you? No,
I'm cool. I'm here.
So it's a totally different game now. But I mean, it is cool though, because great people come out of this empowering society, which we have through social media. The issue is that people are just getting, here's what it is. Fame is the new, what is it? I was going to say fame is the new attention. Yeah. Attention is the new currency.
Yeah.
It's not about it. It's about attention. And the more eyes are on you for whatever reason, that makes you relevant and all this stuff. And that's just different than I was raised. But it doesn't mean it's not working for some people.
Dude, this is the first time, like really, like strippers used to just be strippers, right? And now strippers believe they're famous. Like now they're on OnlyFans. Like they've taken the strip club to their house, and now there's OnlyFans where these chicks have millions of perverted men following them and making, dude, millions a month, bro. Like
$2.99 a month, raking it in.
What's that?
$2.99 a month, I heard. That's what I heard. Bro, I don't understand how OnlyFans is so successful. I can just Google the word vagina and 1 billion images. But
dude, I do like, I can't believe when I saw it on the boxing, when I saw it, I think it was on the Ryan Garcia fight or one of the fights, they had it on the ring. I was like, oh my God. Like, really?
That's the thing. It's like the world. I'm actually going through a catharsis and like a midlife. I don't want to say crisis, but like I am changing. Like, and yeah, I can tell you this. I guarantee you'll probably agree with me.
Yeah.
It's like sex is everywhere more than it's ever been. And it actually turns me off.
Yeah. It's like a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
It's a fast food restaurant. It's like, dude, I'm like, I remember I used to, like, when I was younger, I was like, oh, man, like, I used to really think, like, it meant something, like, it meant something to take home the hottest chick. Dude, everyone's screwing everybody now. Everybody's fucking everybody. There's nothing to it. There's no substance. Do people even go on dates anymore? I mean, people just go on Tinder and meet to fuck. That's it.
But they're like, and the women, and you know, I mean, I want to get hell for this, but women are... I used to like mystery. I still do. You know what I mean? I like a little demure. I'm sorry, but now it's like, I feel like women are emulating what they think men are and becoming more like talking like men. Like, but I don't know any dudes that talk like some of these women. And I'm like, the shit is so graphic. And I'm like, what? And it's on Instagram. So that's a whole other ball of wax we could go down to about the society of how it's becoming so sexualized. I sound like an old lady, but it's like, where we can go into the darker forces of, like, you know, that's where you start looking into other things and say, what is powering all of this stuff, you know? And you can start going into, you know, the Satan talk if you want.
Yeah, but, no, 100%. Let's go into, no, it is, dude. Like, let's talk about that for a second, because that's where I go with a lot of my program.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, dude, I mean, there's just no way humanity can survive this. Not the direction we're going. There's just no way. I know they're trying to take us to this transhumanism, AI controlling everything, but then what, bro? There's going to be no need for us anymore. It's going to be exactly like the Matrix. It's going to be, we're done. I mean, as a species, we are done. We're not even having kids anymore. We're having sex, but no kids.
Yeah. I think, like, it's so crazy. If there's, you should go on TikTok and look at, there's a guy that posts all the stores that are closing this year, and there's just so many different chains that are closing.
You mean like the retail stores, like commercial?
Yeah, retails and the restaurants. Red Lobsters is closing, and like these iconic things. And I'm not saying we don't change, our society doesn't progress. It does. But like, what are we going to do with all these buildings? Where are all these people going to literally becoming the haves and the have-nots, and jobs are getting less and less. They're lying about that in the economy. People can't afford a carton of eggs, so that's bullshit that they don't talk about that enough on the news. And so, yeah, like, but also just society as a whole. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, love and sex should be a little bit more special than it is. I'm not saying I haven't had great times. But like, you do see some of these women are forced to do this shit. Like, I'm not saying you have to choose it, but it's like there's less and less opportunities. And then like, we put people in these positions, and it's like, okay, it's an easy way to make a buck. But like, they literally are just making society just,
everything is watered down.
Yeah. And it's just, we are in a place where, and morals are just, the morals have gone out the window of like, what is, you know, like, where is our, I feel like we're becoming much more less dignified as a society. And I know that's me saying that. So it's crazy. If I'm saying that, then that means something, because I don't ever talk like that.
I know.
So,
I'm in the same boat as you, dude. I say the same way. It's scary.
And I just feel like, you know, I mean, we're talking in broad strokes, but just like how there's less accountability for things. You know, you steal $900 worth of stuff at CVS. Okay, don't prosecute unless it's 1,000. Well, that's encouraging a crime wave with less accountability, which then closes the CVS. So now it's like one guy does something bad, all the 20 Marines have to do the push-ups. Now we have to do the push-ups for the criminals. Then we lose the CVS. And that is happening in many ways across our society. You know what I'm saying?
Of like, and so do you agree with me on this? Would you say that this is engineered?
1,000%. I can't say that because they'll think I'm nuts, but more people are waking up. You won't, because you're awake. And I hate to say that. It sounds like we're both like, oh, the awake brothers and all that, but it's not. Yeah. It's really simple. Here's what it is. The world is built. I can't tell people this enough. It is now built. The infrastructures are in place. Everything can be done remotely. You can have a job. You can do this podcast from Bali right now, and you can still have all the guests you want. The AI is already up to much speed, much quicker than people realize. Human jobs and labor, unless you're a pipe fitter, a construction person, those are the last to go. The rest of it, contracts, lawyers are going to be in trouble. Even surgery, doctors are going to be less and less because of this stuff. So many jobs are going to go away. Obviously, fast food. People wanted to raise the McDonald's. They paid them back by making the first automated McDonald's with one employee. And yeah. So they said, fuck off. So that's just happening. There's that. So people are going to literally, they talk about it. There's a whole phrase. The guy says, what are we going to do with the useless class?
Yes.
I mean, so yeah, it's definitely part of it.
We're watching it right now, dude. Take place right now.
1,000%, dude. Why are buildings so empty? Well, because big companies buy them and they can put them in their assets. They force people out and they own it. Those people don't have any place to live or work. They're not letting people in. but they're not going to go down because they're not independently owned by landlords anymore. They're owned by corporations, and they're just going to sit there.
And so you go, you subscribe, you go with the problem reaction solution, the Hegelian dialect, right? I mean, you're on board with, I am, I'm 100%.
I don't even know what the Hegelian is. I heard that, but that philosophy of problem reaction solution is 100% true, I believe.
Yeah, 100% true. And we're watching right now. What is that?
What's Hegelian?
It's the, I have no idea what that means. I just know that it's what it's called. The problem, it's like the equation, the problem reaction solution equation. So in other words, create the problem, use MSM to push it, get the desired reaction, and but they already have the solution. So you get the reaction from the public by using MSM, by the movies, the commercials, herding the cattle a certain way, and then you have the solution, kind of like what happened in 2020, but I can't say more here on Fluff too, but we know what happened on 2020. They had the solution, but I'm not going to even go into that. But so
the fact that you can't talk about it,
yeah. That should tell you everything. So like now I'm thinking about this and I'm like, obviously they achieved breaking up the family unit. They destroyed that. You know, I've talked to Rick Ross, the original Rick Ross, about hip hop, how that was controlled by three letter agencies, to take the father out of the household, bring in crack cocaine, the whole drug industry, and funnel them into prison systems. I mean, this is all very thought out by think tanks. And I tell people today, I'm like, just like how gangster rap came in the 90s, and you did that movie Malibu Gangster, whatever the fuck. Just like that, bro. Remember, it was not cool to be the white guy. That was all for now. That's to where they got, that was all hurting people to be where we're at right now with this whole agenda of the, you know what, hey, agenda and the, whatever, where we're at today, that was all for what right now. We're ripe for the taking right now. Do you agree with that?
1,000%. I mean, I'm with you. And then my whole thing is just like, you got to slowly wake people up. I don't even know why I'm part of this now. I'm sitting here talking to you because I feel like that's just where I'm guided. I know that sounds crazy. But, like, I'm just an actor and a comedian, but, like, comedy should be speaking truth to power. And I just feel like that's the only thing
I think
left.
You have the most important job, dude. You have the most important role from anybody. You know that, right? Because comedy, you're able to slip things in and give everybody the truth. They can lie. You have the biggest role, dude.
I'm believing that more and more. And it's like, you know, like I did this joke the other night and I put on Instagram about on Melrose, there's only two stores that are really popping off right now. And it's weed stores and Four Lease. And I'm like, this Four Lease is big business because there's literally like I thought if you look at it, you would think Four Lease was like some kind of business because every other store is Four Lease. So it's like, is this a, you know, the company is Four Lease. Like there's so many empty stores.
I know.
But people laugh, but it's also true. And I'm like, that's exactly what you're saying about throwing some truth in there. But yeah, all of this stuff is, it's, I can go down the rabbit hole. I try to tell it in the simplest way so I don't freak people out. But basically, I don't even know why I'm doing it. But like, I'm so into the finding out what the truth is. And I feel like we peeled back the onion a little bit. And I'm like, ooh. We saw some shit. And so that got me hooked. And now I'm like, wait a minute, and more and more. And so, you know, guys like you, guys like Eddie Bravo, you know, guys like Sam Tripoli, who really opened my eyes. And in a nutshell, I think our world is basically, how can I say this?
It's stage. You would know that better than anybody.
Yes, it is a complete stage. Everything that they say is true. Like the symbols for things are there. They don't want rules. They want complete, like everything is okay. Less and less accountability. If just in a nutshell, I'll say this in the simplest way, less and less accountability subscribes to one belief system and it has to do with Satan. That's it. I'm not trying to say, you know, all this other stuff, simplest thing, but less and less accountability has to do with that. And that's just a free for all. That's lawlessness.
Before I let you go, man, let me ask you one last thing. What, Have you gone through your own? I know you said you're what? You're going to be 53 or 54?
84, bro.
Damn, boy. Yeah, I'm getting there too, though. So let me ask you this. Would you say like you went through your own dark night of the soul? Did you go through your own dark side, dark night of the soul? I did. Like after boxing, you know, I suffered two near-death experiences. My whole career blew up, got nuked. I was a top protege, top prospect, and then bam, it blew up. I got knocked out. It was over. And then I went through 10 years of just like sorrow and disgust, alcoholism, drugs before I could pull myself out of it. Did you go through anything like that? Or have you gone through anything like that? Or are you going through anything like that? Like a dark night of the soul type period?
That's interesting. I definitely have had down parts in my career and that have really taken over for me. And it wasn't 10 years, but it was 2 years here, 3 years there. I definitely think I've gone through a lot of, probably would add up to 10 years of just like anger, regret, second guessing, not drugs really, but booze, not giving a fuck, gluttony. Hanging out with whatever woman I wanted, that's all that stuff. But I think now I'm going through this thing where I'm really into, like, in the simplest way of like, what's the cleanest way for me to live my life in a normal way that I'm still like doing what I'm doing, but in a healthy way. And also, like, what's my purpose? Like, where am I at? Where am I going? And I'm feeling like you said, like, just by using comedy, that can be my voice to help talk to other people and connect to people that are awakening. But I'm also like going through this spiritual catharsis, man. Like, I really do believe we're in a spiritual warfare of like good
Dude.
versus evil, because I just see things that I never thought would be acceptable. That are acceptable. And I just, the biggest problem we have in this world, in my opinion, right now, the biggest thing is the complete lack of empathy. Like,
Yeah.
I cannot say that enough. My buddy said it perfectly. When I was in grade school, there was a tape, okay? A tape, and it was the scariest tape. It was called Faces of Death, okay?
Oh,
And it was
yeah. I remember that. That's everywhere now.
gnarly, right? And
Yeah.
you're like, oh God. And you saw it, you watched it in your basement with your friend. It was something you would see like a guy
Oh.
fall off a building. You'd be like, oh my God. And then, like, then early internet, there was something called rotten.com. And you
Yes, dude.
on it, and it was like a motorcycle accident, something terrible. Now,
Are
literally,
you talking about that dude's face that was all torn up like that?
oh,
You can see, oh, I remember that.
bro, you don't want to, bro, but that's what I'm saying. That's too much. It ruins me, right? And
Yeah.
now, X. I mean, I love that we have free speech on there, but I mean, the stuff that you could just see on X every day is crazy. Or even the gram, and I'm like, they're fighting, and it's just so of just fight, and people just fighting, hitting. I mean, you as a fighter must see all of these high school fights or grade school fights, and you must go, what is going on? Like, it's just the insensitivity is insane.
And everyone's numb to it. Nobody cares.
Yeah, they're numb.
It's like we're all callous to all of it. There's no shock value in anything anymore. I remember in Mexico, I used to look at their publications or their newspapers and be like, damn, how do they just show this on the front page? Like someone's head cut off. You know what I mean? Like back in the day, it used to be like that. Like they would never show that on the print here. But now, dude, it's everywhere. Like there's nothing that can shock anybody anymore. I remember that two girls, one cup. Like now that's like, whatever, that's everywhere, dude. Like
That's a
that's
first date. Yeah,
oh, man.
that's what I'm going through. I'm like, I'm not going to align myself with that. I'm going to align myself with,
So
I'm just.
are you on board with maybe that some of us are gonna ascend or work on or there's gonna be a separating kind of like almost like a rapture, maybe? Like there's gonna be a split in the dimensions where we're certain people are going to go one way, we're not going to coexist anymore. Are you in the belief of that?
Wait, you're hipping me to this. My buddy did ayahuasca though, and he said he saw me in a robe. And I was like, what? So I was like, but it's weird because ever since he said that, things have been happening. And I'm like, but I never heard this theory. So what are you saying? Like, you just went really down the rabbit hole. What are
I'm
you saying?
saying I've had guests on my show that say that and I had this. Okay, I'm just going to tell you, I had a download. Okay, when I woke up one morning, before I could even formulate a thought or open my eyes,
a belief or what?
Just a matter of fact, like a concrete brick
Hit
hit,
you.
And it was a solar flare. Okay, I went, that's what it is, solar flare. That's what's going to happen, a solar flare. And everything just came together immediately. And I just went through water on my face. I was thinking about it. I was like, that's it. It just matter of fact, like a download from God. And I've had guests on my show talk about the coming solar maximum and this solar flash that may happen.
So and what is
it's an upgrade of DNA, supposedly. I just said, you watched the last show I did with Ishmael Bettis. He talks about this, but you'd have to be really subscribe to what he's saying. I just keep an open mind, everything. But I'm just saying, physics-wise, it just seems to me like there's going to be a separation where we can no longer coexist anymore. And the dense will go to much denser. And when you're vibrating at a certain frequencies, will match frequencies. So the higher frequencies will rise, the denser will come down, and there's going to be a split. Like you split an atom.
So the good vibes only will be with the good vibes only.
Right, right. So there's going to be a split. There's going to be a split, just like you split it like an atom, but there's going to be some kind of event that causes that, whether it's a solar flare or a nuclear standoff or whatever, and there's going to be a split in our realities to where one reality goes this way, the other goes that way. And there's a split.
And where will we be physically? So
physical body goes with the match. It matches your frequency. So if your frequency is vibrating at a higher frequency, obviously your body will vibrate at a higher frequency. Maybe you won't need this meat suit. Maybe we'll think it's death, but we're just light beings. Maybe the people that are vibrating at a denser frequency will still experience this earth as a complete apocalypse. Others will go to what you call quote unquote hell. Their denser bodies will go even lower depending on what they... So I'm saying, you know,
is everybody alive?
I think everyone will be experiencing their existence according to their frequency.
But if you're on the street and one guy's got good vibes and one guy's got bad vibes, are you still on the same street together?
I don't even think you'll realize each other's reality is just parted. I don't even think you'll realize it. That's it. Okay, this is a theory.
That's fascinating.
I'm just saying, that's how I kind of see how this playing out, because we cannot coexist anymore. This is not, and you can say World War III, you can say this or that, but I think there's going to be an event that cuts it.
So let me ask you this, because now you got me into this, because I agree with you. It's just getting worse. Like, I do feel like I'm waiting for the shoe to drop. Do you feel like that?
100% every day, dude.
So when do you think the shoe's going to drop?
I think only God knows that, you know, only God knows that. But I think as long as you are working on your own frequency and your, because you know how it is, bro. Like, now that you're vibrating at a higher frequency, you don't want to be around certain people. People that you used to be able to tolerate just a year ago, you're like, I can't even be around them anymore.
Right? I know it's a lonely existence, dude. It's a lonely existence, but it's a good existence.
I'd rather be lonely than.
Yeah. But, like, you're saying that there is going to be – I do think there's going to be some type of event, whether it's going to be, you know, war or something. But I do feel like that. But I feel like it's – I don't know. I think the election could change the whole world. Yeah,
yeah. I agree. I think it will. But I think what's going to be more than that, and I say look into it. Even Dennis Quaid came out talking about this on Tucker Carlson.
He talked about this EMPs.
Yeah. No, he talked about the CMEs, coronal mass ejections. He was talking about the solar flares. But now, yeah, now the dark side could use that as an EMP and blame it on that, no doubt. But I'm just saying, I feel like there's something that's going to happen that causes a divide, a quick snap, and frequency shift immediately.
That'd be fascinating. I mean, I'm like, yeah, I don't even. That's a difference forever and ever and ever, like literally a timeline shift. I do believe we're already experiencing certain things because of the CERN, for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Dude, look at like, and I keep bringing this up, and I know my audience is going to laugh, but I bring it up a lot, like trail cams. Did you ever watch trail cams, dude, and see the shit that they're catching in the national forests? Bigfoot is like the least of the problems, bro. Like, you see him constantly. I'm talking about like translucent beings, alien looking figures, apparitions that are just out in the national parks where trail cams are picking them up constantly. So what?
Really?
So that's telling me there's already a blend happening.
Oh, so you're saying the dimensions are already open and things are coming through these portals.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's why I find myself wanting to go to Sedona,
Yeah, I
because
love
I
Sedona.
feel like Sedona is a big spot for portals. That's what I've been being told by multiple people. And I do feel, dude, this is so weird that we're saying this. I know we covered a lot of stuff. To the normal person might sound a little crazy, but we're just touching on different things. But I do feel like the normal person at like Panera, you can start talking about portals and they'll be like, I know, like,
Yes.
am I? But everyone is kind of linked into this, like, what's going on with our collective consciousness thing? Am I crazy or no?
100% I'm with you, dude. I mean, look at the story. Look at the show now. I don't know if have you ever seen Outer Range? It's
No,
watch it. It's cool. It's kind of like Yellowstone, but like with a dimensional portal. I mean, it's cool. It's like Skinwalker Ranch. I think they got the idea from that. It's like Yellowstone, the series Yellowstone, and Skinwalker Ranch, put them together, Outer Range. It's a cool series. I say check that out.
Okay, I will. This is
Jamie.
fascinating, dude. We could talk for hours.
Yeah, you're awesome, dude. I appreciate you coming on, man. I won't take any more of your time, brother. Where can people find you? I know you got your podcast going.
Yeah, people can listen to my pod. It's on my channel. It's Jamie Kennedy. It's Hate to Break It to You with Jamie Kennedy. I put out like 2 a week. I have a Patreon where I can talk about stuff that, you know, we can't talk about. And then, but just go to jamiekennedy.com and you'll find all my socials and links and everything.
Dude, you're awesome, Kennedy. Thank you so much for joining me, bro. Folks, check him out, man. This guy's he's back at it. He's back at it. And I'm very honored you came on, bro.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate you having me. And you're another example of somebody who's like, oh, this guy's so to the right or whatever. And again, you're just a normal person. So
nah,
it's like people always say this stuff, you know what I mean? Just like they say about like I really enjoyed this convo, dude. Thank you for
Thanks,
having
man.
me.
Thanks, Kennedy.
All right.